a raven, or just an excuse? Years ago, Brother Ray McManus told me what he did, and he told this on himself, and I feel sure he would not mind at all if I told this tonight about what he did. But Brother Ray was in college there at Auburn in electrical engineering, which is a difficult course. In the Super Bowl, as today, then it comes on Sunday afternoon late. And so Brother Ray wanted to watch the Super Bowl. He said that. But he said he wouldn't be at church on Sunday night. He needed to study. So he didn't come to church on Sunday night. He said, and you know what else? I didn't enjoy myself. Felt guilty. Because he knew it was not a reason to stay away. It was just an excuse he used. A lot to be learned from that, isn't it? And sometimes we have a reason, we think, but is it really a reason to stay away? Or just an excuse? Like the story I heard years ago about this older couple, and one Sunday morning, supposedly it's a true story, the older man woke up and his wife beside him was dead. So he called the kids and told them. They all came over, and so about 9 o'clock, he started getting on his what we call Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. And they said, Papa, are you going? What are you going to do? He said, I'm going to church. They said, Papa, you going to church? And Mama just died last night. He said, yeah. He said, if she could speak today, she'd say, Henry, nothing you can do for me. My race is run. You need to go to church. I have no reason to stay home. I have no reason to miss church. Do we ever do that sometimes? We look for a reason not to go. You ever do that? You ever look for a reason to do something you want to do? You feel like it. You really want to do that, but you really think you shouldn't, but you just try to find a reason to do it anyway. Or a reason not to do it. And in the end, you know, actually, it was just an excuse. There's no reason to do that. No reason at all. You may think your life is difficult. Do you sometimes think it is? But when you read in Hebrews chapter 11 about people that was years ago lived, and he talks about, which is believed to be Paul that writes in Hebrews, he says in verse 32 of Hebrews 11, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and of Jephthah, of David, Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. You've been tortured? Not accepting deliverance. That they might obtain a better resurrection. And other than that trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, which is beatings. Yea, more of a bond and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And you think we've got it bad? We was talking today about air conditioning. How nice it is. It is nice, isn't it? And I'm telling you, car, air conditioning don't work. Oh, we don't like that window down, do we? We like that air conditioning on. We like it on at home. We like to have that heat in the wintertime when it's cold, don't we? We don't ride to church in a wagon anymore. We're on a mule, or a horse. We come in cars on paved roads usually. You ever wonder what we're going to say on Judgment Day? You know, Hebrews 12 goes on to say about these people it's talked about, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Okay, people that's lived before. People that's lived before, see? Like you and I have lived today. And what they went through. So great a cloud of witnesses. He says, this has all happened to other people. What they endured in this life. He said, I'm telling you what's happened to them. Listen to what's happened to them. That's why it's in there. He goes on to say, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And we can relate to that. Okay. Because weights and sins are besetting. They slow us down. They turn us aside. We want a reason not to, but there's no reason. It's just an excuse. He says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know what that word patience means there? He says, well, you say, well, preach it just means to be patient. No, it does not. It means steadfast endurance. That's what it means. Lay aside the weight and the sin and run with steadfast endurance. So, well, you know, I don't want to be up and down, in and out. I want to be keep gaining and keep learning and keep getting closer and stronger. Right. Well, don't you want to? Sure you do. You don't want to start falling aside. And it's so sad. I see so many people. Me and Billy was talking today. It's sad to see people that you have so much confidence in and they just fall away. So, how can you do that? Why did you do that? Have you ever been disappointed in somebody? I've been so disappointed in my life in people. And maybe I should be. Because you say, well, they're just people. Maybe you've been disappointed. But the question is, do I disappoint somebody else? You know? That's what I got to be concerned about. What that song say? Be a light for Jesus every day. I don't need to look for a reason. And I say, oh, I don't want an excuse. Do it. Do you? In Jeremiah chapter 17 and 9, we read these words. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What now? Our mind is very deceitful above all things. We deceive ourselves. Okay? He also says, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now remember that verse, okay? Proverbs 16 and 2 said, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Now here I am. He's already told me that I deceive myself. That my mind can be very wicked. And also, he says, all the ways I have are clean in my own eyes. Now, that don't make a good combination, does it? If I'm deceitful to myself, if I'm wicked within myself, and if I try to clean up what I do. So that means I've got to be very, very careful as I examine myself. And self-examination is hard to do. I know that. It's hard to examine yourself, whether we be in the faith. So if I'm not careful, instead of having a reason for something, I would just have an excuse. Like the older man said, there's no reason for me to stay home today. There's no reason for me to stay here. She's gone. Her life is over. It would only be an excuse. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Have you ever done that? Sure I have. Oh yeah, I try to make an excuse for it. A reason for it. Why I did what I did. Somebody cut me off in traffic? Well, cut them back off. They cut me off, I cut them off. The blow on them, I blow on them. Is that? Please. What? You read that story one time about that guy? I did. The guy who wrote that book, I read. This guy said he was driving to New York City, so this guy cuts him off. He said, I laid on the horn. And the taxi driver cut him off. He said, I laid on the horn. He said, I'm just behind it. He's holding on the horn. Through traffic, holding on the horn. He said, finally, the traffic light catches him. So I pull up beside him on the right. He said, I'm just glaring with that man. I said, old guy runs his way to that. He looks at me and said, what you want me to do, buddy? Drop dead? He said, I just kind of wilted. All my anger was just all of a sudden gone by what this guy says to me. And you know, sometimes we may kind of feel that way about people. We're so mad, we just like them to drop dead. Isn't that sad? No reason for it. Oh, we think we've got a reason for it, but it's really not a reason. We're just mad. We're just angry. And so we just lose our temper. Well, what are some things that we might have a reason? Well, I guess we talk about missing the assembly. You ever miss the assembly? Don't feel good about it. No reason not to come. No reason to miss. You had an excuse. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling. What assembling? It says assembly, preacher. No, I don't believe it does. Your Bible says assembly. It says assembling. And so the church has come together tonight, assembling. He's talking about Sunday morning. I don't think he is. I don't think he is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Is I? Am I falling into the some is? Is that my manner? Well, you know, I know. Some people's manner is that way. Now we think about those people we read about a while ago also in Hebrews, what they went through. And you really think on Judgment Day that you're going to have a reason, do you? And you stand beside those people and what they went through. And what you've got and what I've got. And what am I going to say? You wonder what you're going to say? You heard that song about excuses. You remember that song? And in fact, talking about Brother Ray gave me that song too, about years ago. He and Debbie. Gave me a little cassette tape. And on that tape was this song about excuses. Said, we hear them all the time. Said, somebody, this woman don't go to church. You know why she don't go? Said, the preacher wouldn't even shake my hand. And it goes on in the song to say that said this child had a runny nose and took the whole family to stay home and blow that poor child's nose. Of course, they got it rhyming where it kind of catchy. The whole family had to stay home and blow that poor child's nose. Not forsaking the assembly. What does the postman say? What does it say? Rain? Sleet? Snow? We still going to bring you mail. Okay? What about your job? What's going to hold you back from your job, from going to your job and getting your check? And you, what's going to hold you back? You think a rain's going to hold you back? You know, you can turn on them things that do this on the windshield, can't you? I'd say you got them, does it? Is snow going to hold you back? What's going to hold you back? Just an excuse, isn't it? So next time you start to miss the assembling of yourselves together, think about that. He says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, as that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Now you think he's not talking about missing the assembly? He's talking about sinning willfully? But a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses shall die without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment. Listen to this. Suppose ye shall he be thought worthy to have trodden under foot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified in the holy thing and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now, brethren, you study that verse, those few verses there, and you begin to see sometimes where your priorities lie. Don't we? A reason or just an excuse? Now, what about studying? It is this year. It's about half gone. How much time you spent studying this year? Well, preacher, I'm studying. How you ever done this? You've been busy all day, doing things you enjoy doing. So it's getting close to bedtime. You hadn't read your Bible, you hadn't studied. And you really know it's kind of bugging you. So you're going to get your Bible down and read a little bit to feel a little bit better. You'll do that? You're going to read a little bit so you can feel a little bit better about yourself. You know what the Bible says? Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. W-R-K-M-A-N. A workman. Do you call yourself a workman? That needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As we sometimes say it, even kind of laugh. You ever do this? You ever say this? Well, you know, I don't know what I should know about the Bible. I don't know what I should know. I don't know what I should know. No big deal, huh? No, nothing. It's okay. I got a reason. What's your reason? Well, you know, preacher, really, it's just an excuse. I really don't know what I should know. But I'm working on it. You know, we pray a lot for people. We ever pray for somebody like Paul prayed for him in Philippians chapter 1? This is how Paul prayed. And we pray about sickness. We pray about people on trips. And Paul says, and this I pray. This is what I'm praying for. Hey, Paul, what you praying for? He said, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So what are you praying for me for, Paul? I'm praying for you, Wilbur, that your love may grow, abound in knowledge and then in judgment. So if I have more knowledge, I have what? Better judgment. Okay? What about my sore knee? What about my headache? Didn't say a thing about it. He didn't say a thing about it. He said, I'm praying about your spiritual life. think he'd pray for you for that? Sure he would. You ever pray for somebody for that? Your love might grow. That you may approve, he says, so if your love grows, your knowledge grows, you have better judgment, you approve things that are excellent. I want to approve what? Things that are excellent? Don't you? Sure you do. You want to make good decisions. Some of you know that our grandson got married yesterday. And I pray that he and she will approve things for the excellent. They will make good decisions for their life. Don't you pray for people like that? You want them to make good decisions. I don't care about hearing an excuse, do you? And you know the Lord don't want to hear it. Paul said, I pray for you for this. That you may be sincere. And boy, that's a biggie right there. What a word. That you may be sincere. And friends, do you agree with this? If I'm sincere, I'm not going to be looking for an excuse not to serve the Lord or not stay. You agree with that? You know, the Lord ain't going to take your leftovers. You think He will? He's not. He's not going to take them. You ever read over in the book of Revelations? Revelation chapter 3. The church of Laodicea, he said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thy work cold or hot. Just rather you be one or the other. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You're not cold. You're just not hot. You're just lukewarm. You may prove things with excellence. You may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. So Paul says an awful lot in those two verses, Philippians 9 and 10. Who does he pray? What does he pray about? Your spiritual health. What about helping others? Yeah, you know, preacher, my plate's full. This thing's getting personal. Yes, it is. It gets real personal. And I want you to take it personal, okay? Don't start thinking about somebody else needs to be hitting somebody else because they got more money. Oh, they got a sack full of money. You ever heard that? Ain't no telling what they got. Ain't no telling what they own. Look at it. They got plenty. Do you know the Bible paints the scene of Judgment Day? And you know that scene of Judgment Day? It doesn't say a single word about the Lord's Supper. We know that's important. That's the most important thing you will do all week is what you did today to take the Lord's body and His blood. There's nothing you'll do more important all this week than that which you did today. If you did that today, there's nothing you'll do more important than that. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Many are weak and sickly among you. They don't take it in the worthy way. They don't think about what they're doing. Eating and drinking damnation to yourself if you don't, sir. But it don't mention this in Matthew chapter 25 about this. It don't mention about going to church. It don't mention about being baptized. We know all that's part of our salvation, okay? If we write it about His Word. So who I believe He's talking to here in Matthew 25 is me and you. People that have been baptized. People that go to church on Sunday. They won't miss. They take the Lord's Supper. Okay? So what did He say to these groups of people? Verse 31. Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. Then shall the king say to them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well, why? For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Now, you know something about this so far? I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was strange. I was naked. I was sick. Oh, we do a lot for people that don't need anything, don't we? You know, you need to get rid of toys at Christmas time so you got room for the new ones. Kids really don't need them, do they? People you help many times don't really need it. So he says, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was sick, I was in prison. This is judgment day. Before him shall be gathered all nations. And you know what they're going to say to him? When saw we thee a stranger? Took thee in a naked and clothed thee. When saw we thee a hungry and fed thee, a thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee sick and prison and came unto thee? Lord, we didn't know about it. And Jesus shall tell them, the king shall answer, truly I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, you have done it unto me. Isn't that going to be a sight? When we get before our Lord on judgment day to give an account of our lives, and he tells us to come into his kingdom, prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Because why? Why is the reason? You answered human need. Human N-E-E-D. Not what somebody wanted all the time. It's what somebody needed. Had you ever in all your born days done it? Friends, I'm going to tell you something, though. We have a golden opportunity here. That's what we got. And what else we got? We got brethren going to foreign countries. There's one here tonight, Brother Harry. He's been over there and seen this suffering, seen the hunger, seen the need. And let me tell you what. You have better. From what I understand God's word, and I believe every word of it, you do too, absolutely. I mean, you better get behind it 100%. Absolutely. There's a golden opportunity for us right there. Not just Africa, Philippines, Mexico, places they go, the need they've seen. How touching can it get? I remember Brother Harry told me several years ago, and these people were eating every third day. And that's kind of hard for me to understand. Well, I can understand it, but it's hard for me to relate to it, I should say. Because I eat so much. I would be completely shocked to go in the house tonight when I get home and look in the refrigerator. There's nothing there. Look in the pantry. There's nothing there. And I say, Sue, where is the food? We don't have any. We don't have any. We don't have any. We can't buy it, Wilbur. The stores are empty. I saw a picture one time of a store in Russia. You ought to have seen the picture of that store. I mean, just a few cans here and a few cans there of things. What? And today? In our world? In Russia? That's not the end of the story. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels, for I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. Yeah, you didn't see the need, you know, those people. Well, what do we owe them? Are they way over there somewhere? Having all them children? And you quit having so many children. What do I owe them? What if it was you in need? What if they felt that way about you? The other thing about this is she was on the other foot. We like to say that, don't we? She was on the other foot. She's not on the other foot right now. She's on our foot. This is your chance. This is your life. You spend it like you want to. You use your means like you want to. It's your decision to make. But where do you go to search is at? This is the one thing I want to be sure of. This money's, it supports. Not just the preaching. I know we need that too over there. We need the preaching. We've got to send the preachers. Absolutely over there. I'm not talking about preachers like me that's here. I'm talking about preachers going over there. That's right. They ain't going to fly for free. To go over there and preach the gospel. To take this help to these people, and you be sure it goes and helps them, and you be sure you support it. That's harp on this. Y'all want to? I think we should. But no, you don't need to harp on it, preacher. You set them up. We do it. Praise the Lord. Them on the left hand depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered? A thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, did not minister unto thee. He said, answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. Oh, friends, our cups run over. We've had so many blessings. And you can't use that as a reason. You can't do it. Can you? No, it's just an excuse not to help. Not to give. Holy. Do you really help other people that are in need? That are in need? Well, again, you get a job. Well, friends, it's not like America. You can get a job in America. It may not be what you want to do, but you can get a job in America. I'm 71 years old. I still believe I can get a job. It might be picking up cans side of the road. It might be cutting some grass. Yeah, yeah. It might be sweeping yards. It might be digging ditches, but I can get a job. But over there, they don't have the jobs to get. Well, what are we going to talk about next? Well, let's talk about our tongue, okay? Controlling our tongue. James says a lot about controlling our tongue. Oh, he does, don't he? James chapter 3, second verse. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. If any man offend not in word, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whosoever the governor listeth or wants to do. Even though the tongue is a little member, and there is that word, boasteth. Great thing. Oh boy, here we go. We want to boast a little, don't we? Oh yeah, let me tell you about what I did. Let me tell you about what I know. much I study, how much I give. You talk about a turnoff. You ever had somebody boast to you? You think, please. Boast is great things. Alba tongue. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defies the whole body. I see a story. There was a time where this guy said he's riding his bus, going on this long trip. And said there's one seat left on the bus. And this pretty girl gets on the bus. Comes and sits down by. Well, my lucky day. He said, boy. She started talking that old high, whiny voice and bragging and carrying on. He said, I finally got up and stood now. Yeah. Well, now, do you ever think about that sometimes that what we say may do somebody else the same way? What does it say? It's among our members and it defiles the whole body. Isn't that sad? But it's you know, Bass, if you keep your mouth shut, somebody can stay around you. Don't be bad. Just shut up. That's what he's telling you. You know what the Bible says? Study to be what? To talk a lot? No, it don't. It says study to be quiet. So if I'm going to be quiet, I've got to study. I've got to think about it. Don't I want to talk? So he says, study to be quiet. Keep your mouth closed. And also set it on fire the course of nature and set on fire of hell. Every kind of beast and the birds and the serpents and things of the sea is tamed and have been tamed to mankind with the tongue and no man tamed. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So, well, preach, I tell you like this. I just told the truth. But many of y'all heard me tell this story. But some of you hadn't never heard it, so I'm going to tell it again. Brother J.A. Dennis. When I was a young boy, he used to preach. He's from out of Atlanta. I know one person here tonight that knows him. Harry knows him, remembers him. He's been dead for many, many years. But anyway, he used to come to Tarville where I went to church and run meetings. And I was just a lad of a boy, and I'd sit right there. And, of course, you know, I'm like all kids here tonight. My antenna was up. And that preacher said, Brother Ben said one night, don't always tell the truth. And, of course, my antenna really, I remember that so well. Don't always tell the truth. And, of course, I'm really listening. Then a preacher said, don't always tell the truth. He said, what you know of somebody may well be the truth, but you don't have to tell it. It may be true, but you don't have to tell it. And that's exactly what James is saying here. In Numbers chapter 11, listen to this verse, first verse, Numbers 11. And when the people complained, you ever do any complaining? And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them in the uttermost parts of the camp. For what? Complaining. And what are they complaining about? They didn't like the mouth. No, they didn't like the mouth he was speaking with. And so you remember reading on that chapter where he sent them the quail? And how much they gathered up in there? He that gathered least gathered 10 homers. which is about 10 bushels. Oh, yeah. Greedy? Oh, yeah. And so when they get this, he said the flesh was yet between their teeth. They fixed these quail. And God was full upset with these people. It was chewed before they even chewed it, because they just put it in their mouth. They didn't chew it. The wrath of the Lord was coming against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. You know what that's all about? Not being thankful. Now, wait a minute. We better look long and hard at our success. He said, I think that's an old law. Well, let's read a little bit more. In the book of Acts. I mean, the book of Romans. The first chapter. Talks about all these things. Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, hate of God, pride, boasters, inventors of evil things, little bit of parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. All these things we have. If we got something to complain about, I don't know what it is. What you got to complain about? Are we complainers?
I don't like that. I don't want that.
Oh, my friends. We have to be very careful about what we talk about. Because we complain sometimes and we don't really think about it. Don't we? We complain. We worry about things. We complain about what we don't have because we see somebody else what they've got and we don't have it. There's no reason to do that. Let me ask you to do something tonight. Whatever you do, be thankful. That will do a lot for you. Because when you're thankful, you're going to be humble. And when you're humble, you're going to obey the voice of the Lord. You won't be complaining. You won't be trying to find a reason not to do something or a reason to do something that is wrong. You're going to do what is right. What about us tonight here, Randolph County? We've been blessed so much. We've been given so much. Do we realize it? You know, friends, I had an occasion the other day to talk to one of my cousins. Never seen him in my life, but I got an old picture. And on this picture, she's on this picture. She was born in 1932. So she's now 78 years old. She lives in Knoxville, Tennessee. And just a few people are left living on that picture. But I found her name. I found out who she was. And so I called. Somebody asked me, they said, well, I can give you her telephone number. She lives in Knoxville. So I called her. Told her who I was. She said, of course, she's my cousin. And so we talked for a long time. And she was talking about somebody else on that picture. Now listen to this story. And this man is also dead too. And she says, Wilbur, remember what I remember about, you know what I remember about him? When I was a child, I was about 6 years old. I had a tricycle. And one day, this man, which is my cousin also, he asked me, if I would give him my tricycle when I was about 5 or 6 years old, that he would give me a doll with clothes. He would trade me. And I agreed. Now, this woman's 78 years old now. And she said, so he took my tricycle, but he never gave me that doll or clothes. He said, I've never forgot that. Isn't that sad? I'll tell you that for a reason. Your life, you may not know it, but you are an example. You are an example. I am an example. And you can't be looking for reasons not to do what's right. Friends, you may, we're talking about something over 70 years old ago that happened. You may affect somebody's life. You may never know it. I doubt if he ever knew it, what he did. He may have forgotten it. I don't know. But what you do may affect somebody's life, and it be with them the rest of their days. So what you say to somebody is you encourage them with words. I mean, a child, you can say something to them and encourage them. Or you say something to them and hurt them, they stay wrong. Be careful of your tongue. Be careful what you promise. Attend the services, all the services. Study your Bible. Give to those in need. May God bless you and help you to live by His Word till your life on this earth is over. And tonight we sing an invitational song. If you're not a member of the church, we ask you tonight to come to be baptized. If you are a member, you've gone away, we ask you to come back, confess your faults, and ask for prayer and forgiveness, and God will forgive you. Won't you come us together? We stand and we sing.